Last week, as we entered the season of Advent, we reflected on hope, which is not wishful thinking, but the deep, steady trust that God is bringing a new dawn, even when the night feels long. Hope is what keeps us awake, looking toward the horizon, believing the light will return, because God has been faithful before and will be faithful again. Well, this week we turn from hope to peace, the second step in our Advent journey. But peace in Scripture is not simply feeling calm or the absence of conflict. Biblical peace, which in Hebrew is shalom, it represents wholeness and harmony, right relationship, the flourishing of creation as God intends it. Yet, strangely, our guide this week is John the Baptist, whose message at first glance sounds anything but peaceful. His words are fiery. His tone is sharp. He calls religious leaders a brood of vipers and warns of judgment and wrath. He unsettles rather than soothes. And still, John is the one preparing the way for the Prince of Peace. Why? Because sometimes peace cannot begin until the truth is spoken. Sometimes peace comes only after the light exposes what is broken so that it can be healed. Before we arrive at the manger, Matthew takes us into the wilderness to hear this truth teller of God. And so our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 3, beginning with the first verse, listen for God's word to you. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan. And they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I'm not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of the Lord. We would expect the prophet to show up in the temple, and yet John appears in the wilderness. He stands in the raw, open place where distractions fall away and people can hear the truth that they have avoided. And his message is simple and urgent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, at first, this does not sound like peace. It sounds like thunder. It sounds like confrontation. It sounds like a warning siren from a storm. But John is not really trying to terrify the crowds. He's trying to wake them up. Because peace cannot come to people who are sleepwalking. Peace cannot come to hearts that refuse to change. Peace cannot come to a community unwilling to face and name what is broken. John's words are unsettling because he's clearing away everything that stands between God's people and the peace that God longs to give. He's not announcing destruction, but transformation. And part of that transformation means being willing to step into the light that is coming fully, honestly, without hiding. Light exposes what we would rather keep tucked away: our habits, our assumptions, our resentments, even our fears. And that exposure is uncomfortable. It's even humbling. But it is also profoundly healing. For only what is brought into the light can be mended and reshaped and made whole. The peace that Christ brings, wherever we dare to let his light reveal the truth about us, that's where we find wholeness. And John's central message is the call to repent. And we often misunderstand that. We often hear it as something very harsh, as if it's about shaming people and scolding people, which he appears to do in this passage. But repentance at its core is really about turning oneself around. It's about turning your life around. Turning from what diminishes life towards what gives life. Turning from habits that harm towards practices that heal. Turning from self-centeredness towards compassion. Turning from shadows toward the light of Jesus Christ. Repentance is the posture of turning our lives towards the ways of God, to follow the path of God, where we take on the character of God, the goodness and mercy of God. And when we turn and follow that path, that's where we find peace. Most of the time, we imagine peace as something that happens to us. But John teaches that peace is also something that we move toward. When we turn away from what fractures our lives and our relationships and our community, we then make space for God's peace to take root. John insists that repentance, this turning our lives around, is not merely internal, but it should produce fruit, visible, tangible signs of change. Last week, Hope taught us to watch for the dawn. This week, peace teaches us to live as people shaped by the dawn. And when we turn towards the light of Christ, certain fruits begin to grow in our lives. We have reconciliation instead of resentment. Generosity, instead of fear. Truth-telling instead of pretense. Justice instead of indifference. And compassion instead of complacency. These are not just moral improvement. These are the fruits of God's peace. The peace that God promises and the peace that Christ himself embodied. John's harsh-sounding message is not intended to frighten us into obedience, but rather it's an invitation to step out of the patterns that keep us from God's peace. It's the cry of a prophet longing for God's people to flourish, not just as individuals, but also as a community, a collective whole. Now, as a church that is walking through a season of transition, we too are being invited to turn toward the light, to prepare the way for what God is going to be doing next. And my role as your interim senior pastor is to help us make that turn, to listen to the Spirit's leading, to name what is life-giving and what is not, to heal what needs healing, to clarify who we are, our identity, and our mission, and to prepare a faithful foundation for the pastor who will then come after me. And your role echoes John's call to open yourselves to a new light, to turn towards the light, to be open to change, to seek the peace and character of Christ, the peace that Christ desires to bring, and the peace that comes when we are reconciled with God. During this interim time, the church has a unique opportunity to shine a light on what is really happening within this congregation. To see its strengths, to see your wounds, to notice your blind spots, to recognize your hopes and dreams and vision. And this isn't for the purpose of blame or fear, but for future health. We look honestly at ourselves so that God can bring the healing and wholeness needed for a new beginning and a better future. The work will not be easy, but it is holy. And when we have gone through it, we will be better for it. John's message is urgent, but its purpose is hopeful. He's preparing the way for Jesus, the one who brings peace not by avoiding conflict, but by healing it. Not by denying brokenness, but by entering into it. Not by covering up the world's wounds, but by transforming them. Peace in God's kingdom is not quiet avoidance. It's the restoration of all things. It is reconciliation and justice and a deep belonging. It's light shining in the darkness, and the darkness not overcoming it. And so on this second Sunday of Advent, we turn toward that light. We turn toward the peace that God desires to provide. We turn towards the wholeness that God promises, because a new dawn is coming, and the peace we long for is drawing near. So let us prepare the way in our hearts, in our homes, in our community, and within this congregation as we turn toward the light. Amen. Amen. Amen.